Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. The Nassau School, located in the historic black community of Belltown near Lewis, is the focus of a new oral histories project led by researchers at the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs. Through the stories of former students, staff, and surrounding residents, the project aims to record and preserve the Nassau School's legacy before desegregation efforts began, ensuring the voices of this community are heard and remembered. In this edition of History Matters, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon catches up with the division's Engagement and Collections Manager Meg Hutchins and Inclusive History Researcher Braden Moore to learn more about the Oral Histories Project and the Nassau School's place in Delaware history.
Can you give us some background, for those that don't know, on the Nassau School, when it was originally built, and how it served the black community of Belltown?
So the Nassau School is located in the historic black community of Belltown, which is near Lewis, near the Five Points intersection today. It was built in 1922 by the Delaware School Auxiliary Association, which received funds from Pierre S. DuPont to sort of rebuild the school system for black students in Delaware.
And so what happened to the school exactly after Delaware schools began integrating in the 50s and 60s?
The property was sold after integration in 1965. The school was sold to the Best family, which used it for first as like a paint stripping, furniture stripping shop, and then as storage for their hardware store.
Right. And can you speak to just, you know, the significance of the Nassau School for that region, how it served that historical black community of Belltown, you know, just what the significance was there and just what it meant to that community?
Yeah, absolutely. So the school is located just across the street from the John Wesley Methodist Church. And so those two buildings together were sort of like, my understanding is that they were the sort of heart of the community, heart of the town. A lot of the people that were involved in one were involved in the other. I've spoken with many students that would say they would see their teachers there every at church every Sunday. So it was kind of those two together are sort of the heart of the community. And the teachers that were there were very involved in like home life and stuff like that, would you know, be in contact with parents and sort of really give their all and were involved in their students' lives. So, and they still talk about it to this day.
Interesting. Let's pivot to Meg then and take a closer look at the actual oral histories project itself then. Meg, what exactly prompted this, or has this project kind of been in the making for a while?
Yeah, it's kind of been in the making for a while. The state of Delaware, and so the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, kind of ended up with the building through complicated process that's too much for this morning, but we manage over 40 historic properties across the state, and that's a way to try and preserve history through the built environment. And so this property became under the wing of HCA, and there's always been a desire to do work on the property and to tell the history of this property. And so it's sort of been slowly in the process, and we've been doing some restoration and some actual physical work on the building of late, and that's ongoing. And then we had this opportunity to do focused work. And so we brought Braden on here as our part-time researcher and oral historian. And so he's been doing a bunch of the work and doing the, you know, going out, learning about the community and getting kind of all this research in one place, because the community knows about it, but it's not been kind of written in one spot. And so Braden's been helping us do that and helping us capture from the community's perspective, from their words, what the actual history is. And so that's been really cool. And it's an ongoing process. We're trying to constantly find out more. Hey, do you know somebody else that was in your class that's still around, can tell us more? And so, yeah, it's a long time coming, but it's a culmination of a lot of hard work, and we're excited to see it like launch. We're just in the beginning of it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just in the beginning of making what I know, what it sounds like it will be a comprehensive resource. I guess we'll pivot back to Braden then for specifics as far as, you know, collecting these personal narratives. Can you walk us through the project and then, you know, what it entails as far as boots on the ground, the nitty gritty of it?
Yeah, so after we've either identified someone or someone has come to us, but Usually it's through community events and outreach, or someone passing along their contact information. I'll send out the basic information and then we'll meet either in person on Zoom. I'm down in Sussex, so I can meet in like Lewis Library, but then our building is up in Dover. So really all across the state, I'll meet with someone, give them the paperwork and explain exactly what our goals are, and hopefully also learn the goals of our oral history narrators, our participants. We want to know what their goals are too, for participating and having their stories recorded. After that, we'll then schedule a date for the actual interview, which again can be at various locations throughout the state that people don't have to travel so far. And then we'll just record it. I do both video and audio, but our narrators can choose if they would like to do just audio if they prefer. Yeah, it's a pretty quick process.
So obviously, project as you both have said, this is we're still in the early stages. You did just mention as far as like feedback you've received already, like or what you ask as far as the goals of the participants, why they're actually taking part in this project. Do you have any sort of even anecdotally what you've heard so far on that score of things as far as goals go?
Yeah, I think the school and especially the teachers just played a really important role in the lives of these students. And it's like a sense of community that, obviously integration was a net positive, but it's something that they've sort of remarked they was sort of missing in the next phase of their education when they integrated, that sort of close-knit, very personal relationship that they had with their teachers. It's something that they felt like maybe they were lacking later on, and something that they look back on fondly, even in spite of obviously the structural racism that result, like created the segregated school system in the first place. And I think that's something that they really want to see remembered and preserved.
And what kinds of challenges do you foresee? And I'll pose this to both of you. What kinds of challenges in your mind, maybe not that you're experiencing right now, but just as you go on with this project, what kind of challenges do you foresee there?
I can jump in first. I think there's the obvious of if there's a finite amount of people, right? Because there's it actually is a relatively small period that the school was operating, and not all of those people are around still. For they're either not in the area or they're no longer with us, and so there is a finite amount of people that remember and that know and can participate. But then also it's trying to understand what the best outlet for this is, right? So we haven't landed on exactly how we're going to get the information out there ultimately. So likely it'll be online, but we're trying to figure out the best resource for that. And if some people don't want video, is it just sort of, how much editing do we do? There's all sorts of these pieces that go to how do we then get the story back out to the public, which is a rolling process, and that we're hoping to work with the community and find out what they want, how much they want to be sort of navigable from everyone, and how much they want of their own stories out there and things like that. So that's part of this process is working with them, not just taking their stories, but understanding how they want their stories put out to the public as well.
I want to double back, Meg, to something you touched on it earlier. That the Nassau School Coalition is actively working to physically restore the school. So, is there anything more you can tell us about that? Where we are with those efforts? It seems like it's early on still in those efforts.
Yeah, and to be honest, we're in a different, so it's a different part of our division that's doing the actual physical work. And so Braden and I are more focused on the history and gathering that. I do know that it's an active project, and that they're constantly, doing updates, and I know that they fixed the roof and are doing sorts of things. And we had a public meeting in the fall, I'm trying to think how many months ago it was, but in the fall, and Braden was there. That was sort of an open house to talk about the project and where it was headed. And then we hit the winter, so it's been a little bit slow, but I foresee that things will start picking up, once the weather gets a little bit warmer. But yeah, if you definitely want more information, I think staying up to date on HCA's website with our newsletter, that's where we'll be posting most of the stuff about sort of updates to the work being done.
Good deal. All right then. Well, fast forward to completion of this project, what's the ultimate goal here then? Is it, you know, the preservation of history, you know, and shining a spotlight on, you know, the school and what it meant and Belltown and all that, educating the public, you know, about all of this and the place in Delaware's history? Is it all of the above? What are both of your thoughts there?
So yeah, it is kind of all of the above. So all of the oral history interviews will be in the Delaware State Collections. Assuming that the narrators have not put any restrictions on their interviews, then they'll be available to use for research. So that part is preservation, because as Meg mentioned, not everyone is around anymore. And we're sort of aware of the sort of timeliness of the project. But it is also for, we're hoping for some sort of public interpretation or in public education resources that we want, because the people that participate in this project obviously want to see, they would like to see some sort of results and be able to share things that they worked on and they participated in with their families and friends. And so, but that part is still kind of, you know, undecided, but I mean, we are doing this with some sort of public work in mind.
Yeah. And we definitely have been, you know, floating ideas for museum people. And so we're like, oh, could we do a physical exhibit where people could come to? Is there something we can do by having, you know, signage outside the building, or, you know, kind of focusing on the online, but we'd like it to not only be online.
Yeah, very exciting, both on the, you know, the project and the history aspect of things, but then also on the physically restoring the school. Very exciting. Braden, if people want to reach out and get involved, who should they reach out to? Who should they contact?
They can contact either myself or Meg. My email is braden.moore@delaware.gov. That's B-R-A-Y-D-E-N.
Thanks to Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs Engagement and Collections Manager Meg Hutchins and Inclusive History Researcher Braden Moore, as well as our Senior Producer Kyle McKinnon, for showing us why history matters this week.